The Jericho Network on Westwood One. Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It is the pod of thunder and rock and roll. And today's show is being brought to you by Omax Health, Audible, Live Nation, Indeed.com, and NHTSA. And Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Duff McKagan is the proud presenter, as always, of the Talk is Jericho Joke of the Week.
Hey, Chris Jericho. It's Duff McKagan calling you. I've got a beef, actually. I can't believe in this day and age wearing underwear in the backyard would be thought of as so offensive. Admittedly, it wasn't my backyard, and it wasn't my underwear. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Duff, for being so ridiculous. So funny. Great stuff. That one actually made me laugh. Thanks for Duff for never missing a Friday in almost 2 years and for always getting our weekend started with a laugh. Well, at least a groan. All right. And I'll tell you another cool way to spend a weekend or even a weeknight. Go see my boys Shinedown on tour. Zach Myers and the boys. Love those guys. We toured with them back in 2012. They're even better now. The Attention World Tour is on sale now. Get your tickets at livenation.com and then go sing along to Second Chance. Or how about Devil? Because it's about to get heavy. It's about to be on. Yeah, May is slinging napalm. So nobody move. Because I was sent to warn you. The devil's in the next room. Listen, they got so many hits, you know every song they play. They got a killer stage show. Like I said, we toured with them all summer, 2012. They definitely put the money into the show. You're going to love it. And you know who else is going to be with Shinedown this summer? They got Dinosaur Pileup, Broken Hands, and Bad Flower on the bill. It's going to be a great show. And listen, have you heard the new Bad Flower song, Ghost? Huh? I'm going to play a little for you right now. I love that tune. I play them all the time on my Octane show, The Rock of Jericho. And I'm going to have to check out more of their stuff. Maybe I'll even check them out on the Shinedown Attention tour myself. All right, go see Shinedown on tour this summer. It's a night of rock and roll you won't forget. Get your tickets now at livenation.com. That's livenation.com. Shinedown, one of the hottest bands in the world today. And one of the hottest new performers in New Japan Pro Wrestling today at the Excellence Lounge at the Tokyo Dome Hotel. Conversation with Juice Robinson right here on Talk is Jericho. So we're here in the Tokyo Dome Hotel with Juice Robinson. You said you've never been on this floor before?
Yeah.
Excellence Lounge, yeah. Oh, it's weird. They've got a business center up there that closes at 9 in the morning.
Yeah, I didn't even know. There was a...
closes at 9 in the morning. Like, what kind of business are you doing?
I don't even know. I never even knew this place existed.
Oh, this floor?
Yeah, this floor.
Yeah. Wow. You've been coming to Japan for a while now, right?
Yeah. Wow. 3.5 years.
And this is like your main place.
This is my house. I consider this my house.
Is this something you always wanted to do, come to Japan?
No. I never wanted to come to Japan. Well, I don't want to go to Japan. Mm-hmm. It was just, I never even thought about going to Japan. I just wanted to be a WWF superstar when I was little.
Yeah.
But then when I got older, that didn't work. And I didn't know that Japan, I would work here.
Even existed at the point, right?
No, yeah, I didn't know. I mean, I knew Japan was a thing, but I did not know that it was just like the way we you have Yano, you have Taguchi. I didn't know you could be silly and have fun and be like,
right.
Wear costumes. And like, I thought everybody was like mouthpiece in, kick pads and
dumping
like
you on
karate
your head.
Fighter. Yeah. Like drop you on your stack of dimes. That's what I thought it was.
That is kind of the misconception of Japan in a lot of ways that people think that, but maybe kind of in the 90s, like when they had the Misawa and those type of guys that were literally dumping each other in their heads, but you don't really have a lot of that.
No.
You know?
It was funny. Billy Gunn was here a couple years ago for a tag league, maybe 2 years ago, and he just asked me, like, man, are they all going to, am I going to be, like, landing on my head?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, man, you aren't even going to, you are barely going to fall down and get back up. He's like, what? I'm like, dude, you're a monster.
Right.
You're 6'5", 275 pounds. Like, Ishii's, dude, they're going to bump you. You're going to bump once a match, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's going to be awesome. And yeah, yeah, I was right.
But that was that old school style.
Like, yeah,
like
yeah.
You think about Billy Gunn coming in the 90s and you think about going to Japan, brother. But it's really not like that. Because even when I came here, it was like, oh, it's the strong style. I mean, yeah, it's strong, but it's no stronger than working WWE against certain guys. I mean, certain guys are more solid than others. But there's nobody really doing those. I mean, there's some guys doing it on purpose on their own. But getting dumped on your head doesn't really happen a lot.
No, unless you want it to.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And some guys do.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I feel like, yeah, Ospreay doesn't feel like he's alive until he falls on his head a couple times.
Him and Ibushi tomorrow. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they love falling on their head.
So how did you get booked here in the first place then?
So I was CJ Parker in NXT.
Yeah.
Like hippie gimmick. I knew I was just, you know, waiting to get fired or just stay there forever. I could just tell. And I got in trouble all the time. I got yelled at constantly there for popping the boys and like having fun. And
how dare you have fun?
I know. I shouldn't have had fun.
Let's talk about this for a bit. So what do you mean? Like, are you talking about like in class or?
Yeah. Like,
cause explain how that works. Like when you go to NXT,
right?
It's not like you're just on the road and that's it. You have to go to the classes every day, right?
That's all it was. And this was the transition from FCW to NXT. So it was like, you know, FCW was just a little bit of, you've been there, a little bitty warehouse in Tampa, real small.
Yeah,
Dr.
North
Tom,
Tampa,
Steve
yeah.
Kern, Norman Smiley. And it was just...
Dusty was involved.
It was just like developmental had been for all the years. And then all of a sudden, Triple H was like, all right, we're changing this into like a mini brand or a brand.
Yeah.
And it just got way bigger. But that move from FCW to NXT was like... We just had, like, Bill at the time was just, like, super militant and super, like, we're going to just do drop downs and leapfrogs and hip tosses all day and stuff. But, man.
Until you puke.
Yeah, exactly. But, shit, I was doing that for, I can do a drop down leapfrog hip toss, like, dude, as good as anybody.
Right.
So, eventually, it becomes, like, to stay sane, you're in that warehouse every day, which is fine, but... It's like you're getting paid to practice, but I would just have fun with it and be silly sometimes, and I just got yelled at all the time.
Hmm. Well, but how could you not have one? Because, like I said, because that drains you. I mean, talking with Kevin and with Sammy and all the guys that have been down there, you know, Shinsuke, guys like Finn that were like headlining, you know, shows here and then go to NXT and just be doing barrel rolls from corner to corner. It's kind of like, what the hell am I doing?
And I think it was part of like the growing pains of like changing from FC. Like, I don't think it's like that anymore. Mm. I don't think that like Adam Cole's just in there right now doing somersaults.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I think he comes in, lifts weights, watches tape with like Shawn Michaels and then does the shows in Florida. And that would be badass. But for a while there, I just felt like, man, everybody was, all these guys were coming in that, you know, the guys you just, like, Sami Zayn, Pac, Kevin Owens, and I was already friends with, like, Ambrose and Cesaro and Seth. And, dude, they all had that thing that I didn't have, and that was, like, not coming here as a 21-year-old green kid who, I didn't even know how to wrestle, really, when I went to FCW.
Really? So you got signed? That was, like,
when
the
I was
first...
21, I got signed. Yeah.
How?
I was wrestling Lenny Lane up in Minnesota.
Lenny Lane. He stole my Loverboy tape.
Yeah.
He's a good nice guy.
He's the best.
Is he still working?
I don't think he works too much anymore.
Gotcha.
I think last I heard, he was like helping out like troubled youth kids, and he's awesome. And so it was like this was like the first guy that I ever really wrestled, like 20-minute match, like, listen to me, kid. And I'll
get you train with him?
No, I didn't. I trained with a guy named Truth Martini. You probably
RH guy.
Yeah. So I trained in, but this was just a random indie that I met a guy in Milwaukee, brought me over to Minnesota. And Lenny at the time, they were only signing guys that were like, they were signing guys that were like 21, no wrestling experience, 6'2", handsome. Like, that's what they were. Did you play football? Good. All right. Can't teach height, brother. Like, that was what it was.
Would you say can't teach height?
Yeah, you can't teach height. They used to, that's where the any 7 foot tall and you can't teach that came from.
Oh, really?
Because Johnny Ace used to always be like, you can't teach height.
No kidding.
And Steve Kern would say that too, and it's true.
You know, it's funny though, because I remember that verdict because I was in WWE. It was probably, what, 2008 or 9 or something like that, maybe 10. around that time frame? Is that the year that we're talking about?
Yeah, 2011 for me is when
right.
I got. Yeah.
So, but that was the verdict. They had to be 6'2", at least.
Yep, they wanted like Alex Riley's at that time, which, dude, hell yeah, on paper that looks great, sounds great. I don't, yeah, but you know, you want Kevin Owens's and Sami Zayn's and Pac's and
or a combination,
everything, yeah. And a couple of Alex Riley's. Yeah, it needs to be like a plethora of yeah. all but kinds of.
It's
things.
Almost like you know these not like a manufacturing assembly line,
yeah.
of what a wrestler quote unquote is supposed to look like. Like you take like Alex Riley, and he actually wasn't too bad.
No, yeah,
was, whatever reason didn't work out, but that's like. Good looking.
Holy cow, yeah.
What's the other cat? Mason Ryan. Like,
oh,
holy shit, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Can you, yeah, dude, you know, hello.
The prototype.
They're like, yeah, they're WWF, SmackDown vs. Raw, creative players, the yeah. opening thing before you
right.
make your costume and stuff. That's those guys. I get it. But eventually that changed, like, in the 4 years that I was there, and they started signing, like, the Chris Hero. They started signing indie guys
mm-hmm.
and because they wanted to make NXT a brand, and I just think they wanted, like, guys that were over to make that over, and you know, you can't just do it with
right
with manufactured creative players.
So you so you come from
I saw all that and I was like, dude, if either I'm gonna, like, best case scenario, I thought, like, I'm either gonna be with, like, best case scenario would have been like Heath Slater, I think would be my career, would have been my career trajectory. Mm. It's like what I kind of was like, the best case is gonna be like, I'm
nothing
gonna be
against Heath, but
I'm gonna, nothing
saying.
Against Heath. He's
came
a great
in as
worker,
the,
yeah,
an Nexus guy, and then now he's.
And I don't even think that would have happened to me. I really think I would have just sat down there in Florida until I got fired within a year or so.
And why?
Dude,
you got charisma. You're a big guy, good looking guy. You can work. Have you improved that much since you left?
Dude, that's the other thing. Everybody's like, oh my God, he's so much better now. He's improved. I really feel like I'm about the same as I always have been. I just think that Gato was the first guy that was like, all right, just go wrestle. And then he saw kind of how I was. And then he liked it. And then just said, you should do more of that. Like, mm-hmm. He told me, like, he made the flamboyant. He was the one like, oh yeah, you should wear crazy costumes.
Really?
And like he loves when I, like, just yell profanity. I mean, we're toning it down now, but mm-hmm. when I first got here, I was just yelling like.
Oh, I know. Wasn't it fun?
Just, yeah,
when
it's
I
just
first
awesome.
Came here, it's just like, oh, this is great.
Yeah, and they don't care because, like, you could say the F word as loud as you want in front of a 4 year old. They just laugh. Oh, he's being American.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, they don't have the F word is not a thing here. They don't yeah. really have cuss words.
They don't have that swear, yeah. right?
And like half of the Japanese dudes use the F word too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think Gato was just like the first guy who just gave me a chance, and then kind of like was patient too, because like I just feel like in NXT it was like, all right, CJ Parker. You got dreads, so you're a hippie. We made this 70s, like, light-up gimmick when you come out, this rip-off Jimi Hendrix song. All right, we're practicing your entrance. What, you're just going to walk to the ring? Why would you just walk to the ring? Michael says, you got to dance. Oh, I can't dance. I can't sing or dance. What's that, Rocky quote? Like, why do you fight? Because I can't sing or dance. Why do I wrestle? Because I can't sing or dance. Dance to the ring. I can't. Well, how do I Triple H, Pat, all these guys. Oh, okay, I'll dance.
And then how? Like, and why does a hippie have to dance?
I don't know. And why was I a hippie just because I had dreadlocks? I don't know.
So you show up, you have dreadlocks, and someone looks at you and goes, you're the hippie guy.
Or,
that's how it went?
It was kind of like, at that point, they were like, you have to have your message. What's your message? And they were huge on, like, the developmental guys. What's your message? What's your message?
And how do you mean by message?
Message, like, what's your character? Who mm. are you? Like, what are you?
Mm.
I don't know. I was trying to figure it out. I was 22, still learning how to do.
It's kind of one of the reasons why you're there.
I'll get it again. Yeah. Like, we'll stumble upon it. It I think you eventually figure out what you are, but it takes time. But they were just like, what are you? What are you? What are you? So I was trying to figure out a gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, like, Aiden English and Tyler Breeze, they were like in my class, and Tyler Breeze came up with the model thing. Aiden English thought of this thespian thing. So I started, like, pretending to be like a yogi like, I don't know, I was just messing around at promo day. And then Chris Chambers, do you know Chris Chambers?
Yeah.
What is he, a producer or something?
Chris used to work as a producer
yeah.
in WWE, and now he works for NXT. Same yeah. thing, right? Produces like the vignettes, the
yep.
Tron videos, creative.
So I started going that way, and he was like, oh, this is pretty cool. Maybe you should do more of that. And then I just kind of got into it. And then I got dreads, and it wasn't just them. It was me too. But it was like, oh, well, we kind of like that. Maybe you should do it. Okay, I'm doing it. Anything to get noticed or anything to get a chance. And yeah, I did a thing with SeaWorld, like Slave World. I made a sign, and we like taped a huge thing of me like going to Slave World and or Sea World and holding like the sign that says Slave World. People are going by like honking.
Are you trying to save the dolphins?
Yeah,
or something?
Yeah, like activists, like being an activist and
Slave World.
Like I just had like, so it was like it pans one. Out. This will never see the light of day, even though it is out there. But they got so mad because
one lone tear.
Yeah, and then there's like whales, like, and there's me like cutting promos and like how you need to save the orcas. And it was right when that Blackfish thing came out, and I was like, oh my god, when they see this, they're gonna be like, okay, we can. This guy is a heel. This guy will. People will want to see him get his ass kicked. Is what I was thinking. And William Regal was like, don't let you can't show anybody that because I guess Bush Light or somebody owns SeaWorld and Bush Light or Budweiser, somebody is a sponsor of WWE, and ESPN was there that day, and I was still like, nah, show it. And yeah, William Regal was not happy with me. I thought they would love it, but Triple H was like, well, if people are laughing, if they think it's funny, then it's not good.
See, but you know,
but it is funny. I laugh at those guys in real life.
But you know what the thing is? He said that to me a few times, but to me, I always say, it all depends on your delivery. It's not funny if you believe it. You know, if you're at Slave World, like you said, it's funny to see these, but those people,
yeah.
It's like Daniel Bryan now, the carbon footprint thing. Like, but if you are if you do it with conviction,
right.
No one will ever laugh at that, you know?
And dude, at the time I was like coming out talking about like my gas mileage on my Ford Fiesta, and then Great Khali would come out and beat me in like 2 minutes. Or I was like getting my ass kicked by like Baron Corbin and Mojo Rawley in 3 minutes on NXT TV. Perfect. I thought it was perfect thing, but it just didn't work.
And what the hell is Great Khali doing in NXT? They had him
choke slamming me. Yeah, dude.
Really?
Yeah. He was actually really fun to work with.
He's actually a great guy.
He is.
He's super funny. Really nice guy. But you said he's great to work with? I never said that.
Okay, yeah, I know. Let me rephrase that. I had fun working with him. I don't know, but yeah, he wasn't really great with work. But I just, or to work with, but I just looked at it as like, put him in the middle of the ring and run into him and fall down a bunch.
See, but if you can figure out the secret to working with guys like that, then that is a good thing.
It's not that hard. He's a legit Indian giant.
Yeah.
The only one I've ever seen.
You ever dropped that big chop?
Everybody was telling me that. People were like, be careful of that. He's knocked people silly.
Yeah.
And he didn't give it to me. He just gave me that 9-foot choke slam.
He did a big chop to the top of your head. It felt like a tree branch, like a big thick tree branch just falling on your head.
Concussion City. Yeah. That's what I heard. Yeah.
Hey, bro. Hey, brother.
Yeah. There was some story I just heard a couple where him and Big Show got in a fight, and they got a huge fight, and everybody pulled him away, and it was like Big Show telling Khali he was the shits or something.
You're the shits too, bro.
Yeah, you're the shits too, bro.
I was there, man.
Oh, you were?
I was in Puerto Rico.
Or maybe you told me that story.
Maybe. It was Puerto Rico, and the dressing room was like Godzilla versus King Kong.
Yeah.
And we were the little planes buzzing around, raw, just snappy away. You're the shits. You're the shits too, brother. no hesitation. No, like, yeah. Okay, I'm the shits.
But you are too.
So are you.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what you were doing then. Because the other thing too, before they moved to NXT in Orlando, that Florida, Tampa was a warehouse, hot,
dude, yeah.
Sweaty, like kind of in a strip mall. And the time I went, there was just more and more people getting added. So the place was just rammed with people.
It was awesome though. And like Dr. Tom always said, man, all you need is a camera and a ring to train wrestlers. And he's right. The Performance Center is badass as hell, but they were putting out just as many WWE guys in little FCW.
FCW, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, so the camera to kind of show.
Yeah, you can wrestle in the ring, watch it back. You know, have a. You know, you don't need all that shit. I understand why they did it, and it's badass. But all you need is a ring and a camera, right?
So let's talk about some of the shows you did with NXT Juice and why you decided to quit. But before we do that, wait till you hear about this new natural remedy product I got in the mail. It's going to change your life when it comes to joint pain, back pain, muscle soreness, and even arthritis. It's great for all you weekend warriors and hardcore athletes who need nearly instant pain relief after some killer activity or workout. I've been using this, actually, CryoFreeze pain relief roll-on from our friends at Omax Health. I've had some real problems with my elbows lately after the match with Naito at the Tokyo Dome. A lot of pain. It's hard to do curls. I got some CryoFreeze pain relief roll-on. I gave it a try, and it really loosened up my muscles, loosened up my joints, and it makes it a lot easier to work out. Like I said, I've used over-the-counter pain relievers before, like Icy Hot, Bengay. Those focus on one basic cooling effect. It takes your mind off the pain until it comes back like an hour later. But CryoFreeze CBD developed by Omax Health gets rid of the pain immediately while providing long-lasting recovery. It's 100% natural and powered by CBD. All right, so CryoFreeze was inspired by cryotherapy. That's a cold therapy treatment that a lot of NFL and NBA athletes use to help their pain. LeBron James does cryotherapy regularly. What Omax Health did is they took the cryotherapy idea and combined it with two cutting-edge pain relief ingredients, CBD, known for its therapeutic effect on cellular pain receptors, and menthol for its cool, soothing sensation to ease pain. CryoFreeze CBD is non-prescription pain relief roll-on. You literally roll it on your skin like deodorant. You don't have to touch any kind of lotion or ointment and then rub it in. That's all you do. You just rub that stuff in. You roll it on and let it work. It's magic. The roll-on is specifically formulated to block pain receptors, reduce inflammation, and improve muscle and joint flexibility. And the best part about the CryoFreeze pain relief roll-on is that it works within 10 minutes of application, and then it lasts up to 8 hours, immediate, long-lasting. It's a winning combination in my book, and I am living proof of it. It really works. The roll-on is easy to carry around. Just throw it in your gym bag, have it with you for instant pain relief like I did. Roll it over where it hurts, and 10 minutes later, pain-free. Stuff is revolutionary, and that's why Omax Health is giving you, the Sexy Beast listeners of Talk is Jericho, 20% off a full bottle of CryoFreeze pain relief roll-on, plus free shipping. 20% off and free shipping. And that 20% discount applies to any product on their website. Just go to omaxhealth.com today and use the promo code Jericho. You'll get 20% off CryoFreeze and anything else on the Omax site. That's omaxhealth.com. Use the promo code Jericho and get 20% off and free shipping. Don't let muscle soreness continue to be an excuse for living an active lifestyle. Go to omaxhealth.com. Use the promo code Jericho. Feel relief faster. This stuff really works. My elbows will tell you that. Go to omaxhealth.com. Use the promo code Jericho and experience what I know. It will really make you feel good. Oh, yeah. Were you working, like when you did go to Orlando, were you working on the Florida shows?
Oh, yeah.
At that point,
yeah. Yeah. Actually, they were just starting to do like big arena shows, and we were at it was like the WrestleMania, I don't know, whatever one in San Jose, and it was one of the first
takeovers.
Yeah, one of the first big arena like NXT shows, and I was on all the TVs getting my ass kicked on all the TVs, cutting promos, all that bull crap, and then when I wasn't on the card, and I was just like, I gotta quit. I have to quit. I have to quit and go be a wrestler everywhere else.
Straw that broke the back.
Yeah, yeah. But then I got like super pumped about it. I had been thinking about it for a year to quit, and everybody I was telling was like, some people were like, you shouldn't. And then eventually, I think people like saw how convicted, is that the word? I don't know. I was so serious. I'm like, you do it. You're gonna do fine if you leave. They could tell, like Pac and all them, and Sammy and Ferg. They were, leave.
See, if you have, like you said, the conviction, I think is what the word. Yeah, both of us were looking for
conviction,
that. Convicted is what we're saying, which
I'm not a
helps as
word
well.
Person.
I'm not a word.
I'm not one of them.
I'm not one word guys. But if you're looking at the, you know, you and Cody come to mind. Pac is another one. Sammy Callahan.
Yeah.
Great example of guys that took the plunge, and it's hard to do that. I mean, I did it when I was in WCW. I always like said, if someone said to you, okay, you can fly. Well, okay. Now stand on the edge of this building, just take that step. But I can tell you can fly, and you don't know for that one time you take a step, if I'm either going to die or maybe I can actually fly. And when you actually fly, you realize, man, I wish I would have done this 6 months ago, you know? So how did you finally, who did you tell? How did you go through the process?
I told Bernard, Baldo, he's got like 10 names, Prince Albert.
Yeah. Matt Bloom.
Yeah, Matt Bloom.
A-Train.
I prefer Prince Albert.
I like Bernard. Yeah.
Bernard's funny.
Like, where the hell did that come from? Giant Bernard.
Giant Bernard. Mm-hmm. Like Saint Bernard.
That was his New Japan name.
Yeah. I told him, he was already coming down there as like, he was working with Brodus Clay. So he was like coming down as a commentator and as a wrestler. So before he was even a coach, we were already friends, and then he became a coach, then he became head coach, and so he heard me bitch for a year. So he came up to me once and was like, hey, have you ever thought about, if you ever do leave here, have you ever thought about New Japan? I was like, what, me? No. And then eventually I was like, yeah, is that what you think? I started watching New Japan then. Then I saw like Tanahashi and Nakamura and AJ. Well, I knew AJ was over here, but I started really watching. I was like, oh shit, that's just good old fashioned wrestling. Mm-hmm. So then I told them, and then it was when they were inducting Tatsumi Fujinami to the Hall of Fame, and I was doing like access match. I was one of the guys, you know, doing like the 10 access matches a day
during the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Like 8 a.m. Yeah. Shawn Michaels is doing autograph signing a football field away in the, and I'm calling myself Mr. WrestleMania Access and pointing to the sign and tuning up the band and just being a complete asshole.
Right.
Little did I know that Hattori and Sugabayashi and all of them had, as I walked out, then they were like, oh, hey, they were there, and they just said, hey, what's up, Bernard? And then he was like, hey, take a look at this guy.
Wow.
Yeah, he's just quit. I had quit like the day before, and I was just finishing the weekend out, just messing around. But I'm like tuning up the band and like getting ready to super kick. Yeah, I'm getting ready to super kick Baron Corbin. Like, acting like a complete asshole. And Hattori was just like, oh, yeah, he's good, man.
So hey, man, just, good, man.
And I came through, back through, and they were there, and yeah, the rest is...
See, what crazy timing on that, it's right?
Just, it all worked, yeah. Perfect storm.
You just never know who's watching.
Yep.
That's the thing.
And then when I left, I moved to England for like... I was in England in Europe for a summer, and I just did like carnival camps for Brian Dixon.
Can you do a Dixon imitation?
No, I can't.
Rob Brookside does the best.
Oh, my God.
I can't remember how he talks.
I don't know. It's like, he would always be like, okay, Joe, okay, good man. He'd give me my 40 bucks. Okay, man. Okay.
Give me your 40 bucks.
Yeah. And then he'd be like, he would hate if you like had a wrestling match. Like, it's all Gaga. Mm. And it has to be like, it's like 100,000 8-year-old
kids. But let's explain this. It's called a holiday camp, which is way more glamorous than what it actually is.
Oh my gosh.
Because yes. I remember we played a couple of festivals at holiday camps. You go in there, it's like a bunch of battered up caravan cabins.
Yeah.
Minus 20, it's freezing, it's gray, and then they have kind of little entertainment.
Yep.
Yeah. And wrestling is one of the entertainments.
Yeah, I don't even know the American equivalent. But if anybody's really thinking Disney World, no way.
Like, if you ever heard the Catskills in the 60s, that's what I'm envisioning, the Catskills.
I don't even know what that is, but I have no idea. But it's just like, you can, it like, I always say it brought like my wrestling soul back, because I was kind of like, had beaten dog syndrome, and I felt like, you know.
It's amazing how that happens.
But when you wrestle in front of like 400 8-year-olds, more than that sometimes, it's like, oh yeah, wrestling's fun again.
And all you have to do is like lock up, and it's like.
Well, I just always thought of it as like a Looney Tunes. Just think of it exactly like I was doing, like, you know, coming in and getting your foot caught on the second rope, and then Mason Ryan would clothesline me back over, just like stupid, right. Just silly. It was the best.
But it works.
So it worked so good, and it was so fun.
And like you said, it got your passion back for the business.
Yeah.
When you left, was it basically no problem, here you go, here's your complete release? Is there any kind of terms that you have to agree with?
I talked to Kane and Seaman. It was me, Bernard, and Kane and Seaman. Triple H was doing WrestleMania stuff, and I probably should have talked to him, but I never did. But whatever. Mm-hmm. And Kane Seaman was just like, okay, yeah, and go make yourself a star.
It's like, rah rah.
Yeah, all right. And it was no problem. They even said, they told me not to work a couple places, but they said the working here would be cool. I don't know how that would be now, but at that point, I think they were trying to get a working relationship going or something, you know.
But I mean, that's so, the thing too. I mean, you can never. You know, whatever, is there any such thing as real heat nowadays? It's star power and who's going to draw and that sort of thing, you know? And for you, like you said, languishing and developmental, or actually coming out making a big name for yourself, that's the way it should be, you know?
Yeah, I'm glad I did it.
when you left, how did you, were you Juice Robinson right away that summer when you went to England?
Yeah, because that was my original name when, like, my handful of, or my year or so in the indies, it was that, and then... Yeah, I changed it back relatively quick.
Where'd you get Juice Robinson from?
My first wrestling name ever was Joey Malibu. But that's because I didn't have a name. And I was like debuting, and the guy was like, oh, yeah, you look like that.
Joey Malibu.
Here he comes. Long blue tights and white boots and a blonde afro.
Nice.
But I don't know, I was with one of my buddies, and at the time there was a quarterback for Illinois, and his name was Juice Williams. And I don't know how it came. My friend was like, dude, you should be the Juice, like Juice Robinson. I was like, oh, that actually sounds cool. Like a gimmicky first name and like my legit last
name. Is that your last name?
Yeah.
That's always the secret. Yeah. You never, it's like in a Tropic Thunder, they said never go full retard.
Yeah.
In wrestling, never go full gimmick.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
me and Edge talked about that when he was Sexton Hardcastle.
Yeah.
If he was Sexton Copeland or Adam Hardcastle, you're okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Sexton Hard, the double gimmick, don't work.
Yeah, if I was Juice Malibu. Oh. Oh, Jesus. Too much.
Hey, by the way, that name's open. Anybody out there?
Juice Malibu.
Any brothers out there just starting out, you want to be Juice Malibu? Go for it. So when you went over to Europe and all that sort of thing, because you mentioned like the holiday camps, mm-hmm. and that's not easy touring over there. I mean,
oh man, I loved it. You live in this like big, all the foreign or all the non-European guys live in this or non-English guys live in this place called The Digs, which is just Brian Dixon's like old house that he grew up in when he was a kid. And it's basically, I gotta try to be politically correct here, but there's like, you walk in the living room, there's like five mattresses in there, the dining room's got bed, it's like just totally like immigrant workers, you know what I mean? It was so awesome though, and you only get paid like, I got paid enough, you wrestle 5 or 10 times a week and he just pays you cash, and it wasn't much, but if you did 10 shots for $75 a shot, it was okay. Enough to drink beer. Yeah. Drink beer, eat, go to the gym. It was just like something to get away from America. And I was
cleansing your mind.
Yeah. Right? It was awesome. Mm. Yeah, you couldn't save any money, but I could live.
Who else was working there?
Sam Adonis, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was there.
Las Rudo de Chicas.
Yeah. Yeah. Tony Storm was there a little.
Oh, Tony's okay.
Kaylee Ray, she's like...
But basically, you're the only, like, American guy besides
Mason
Sam.
Mason Ryan was there.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I think that was about it. I'm probably forgetting somebody that I should.
But, you know, it's good that you did that. I was working in Mexico, you know, a long time ago, 93, and I was getting bored of it. Like you said, just... I think I'd been there for almost 2 years, and it was week in, week out, same thing. And I took a gig in Germany to go with Brookside, actually, with Brookside. And I remember Conan saying, why would you leave being a headliner in Arena Mexico, making at the time was pretty good money, to go to working in a tent in Germany for shit money, because I needed the experience. I needed to get away and cleanse and learn just life experience, wrestling experience, you know, all that sort of thing.
Dude, and wrestling's supposed to be fun. It's that is what I would do too. Mm-hmm. I would have done the.
Well, you did.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think a lot of people do. Probably I might have done it because I read your book when I was little without even knowing. No, but. Yeah, it's supposed to be like rock and roll and fun, and like we're circus folk in a way.
Yeah, you
know? Like I live out of my bag right now. I sleep on my dad's futon in the living room.
Do you really?
But I'm here. Like this is not this floor, of course. But
someday, kid.
Yeah, someday, brother.
Someday you'll get out of the 20s, the 30s, and the 40s.
But yeah, this is. I think I spent like 220 days in Japan last
year. Kidding me?
Yeah, I had 104. I have about 150 matches with these guys here.
Wow.
Right here. Yeah. And it's like compared to like, you know, but I'm doing like, you know, me and Nakanishi and Nagata and versus 10. You know, I'm doing like real small. I'm doing all the shows.
You're doing like the little Miyazaki ranch towns.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. But I love that. And it's.
So are you awesome. On every tour?
The first 3 years I was. And then this last year I've started to take like the super juniors or the junior tags, like I'm not needed, I guess.
You're not really a junior though.
No. So they bring in a bunch of juniors and then some of the heavyweights have off then.
Okay. So what was it like and where were you slotted when you first came to New Japan? I want to hear about that. But before we get into that, my Raycon earbuds are getting a lot of use lately on Audible. I even listened to my own book on Audible. Not kidding. Wanted to hear how no is a 4-letter word. How I failed spelling but succeeded. Life came out. And if I do a fifth book and narrate it myself, I want to figure out what I did wrong and what I did better and what I could do differently. So I want you to go to audible.com/talkisjericho and check it out for yourself. Don't forget, you can listen to two of my books for free as part of your free 30-day trial. Two of my books are audiobooks, and they have them both on Audible, along with an unbeatable selection of other audiobooks, including bestsellers, motivation, mysteries, thrillers, and memoirs like mine. The Best in the World at What I Have No Idea is also on Audible, like I said. I didn't narrate that one, though. I got an actor to do it, made a couple of pronunciation errors that I still get flack for, like the 619 Rey Mysterio's finishing move. But Audible does have the largest selection of audiobooks on the planet. And now with Audible Originals, the selection includes content made especially for members. Audible members can choose three titles every month, one audiobook and two Audible originals that you can't hear anywhere else. You can listen on your phone, your tablet, your computer, any device at all. You can listen at home or at the gym or on your commute to and from work. Listen anytime, any place, anywhere. I listen on airplanes and while I'm getting my cardio workout in, biking around the trails of Tampa. You'll also get easy audiobook exchanges, rollover credits, and an audiobook library that you keep forever, even if you cancel. That's a good deal. So right now, you can get started with a 30-day trial when you go to audible.com/talkisjericho. That's audible.com/talkisjericho. I'll spell it out for you because this 30-day trial is too good to miss out on. Go to audible.com/talkisjericho now, or you can text talkisjericho to 500-500. Yeah, you can text and get this deal. So text talkisjericho to 500-500. Audible, the most inspiring minds, the most compelling stories, the best place to listen. Listen for a change at audible.com/talkisjericho. Check out No is a four-letter word at audible.com/talkisjericho. Check out Best in the World at What I Have No Idea at audible.com/talkisjericho. And a myriad, that's a great word, of other books available to you at your fingertips. Just go to audible.com/talkisjericho. When you came over here, where were you kind of slotted right off the bat? Like, were you, did they bring you up to the system, or were you coming as a semi-main event guy? Or
so when I asked to stay in the dojo, like I didn't want to come straight to the hotel because I wanted to make a career here, and so I thought I should maybe start from scratch and get a chance in the dojo too, because I wanted, you know, that place is cool as hell. You read about it, you hear about it. It's like, the New Japan Dojo is like, you know, Benoit, everybody, like
Brian Adams, yeah, you know, all the guys. You know, seriously, yeah. I remember Benoit was there with Brian Adams and what's the guy's name who played guitar? Not PN News, but his brother, whatever, Daryl something or other.
Oh, what was his gimmick?
Man Mountain Rock.
Yeah, Man Mountain Rock.
Yeah, he came to the dojo, brother. Could you tell? But I mean, I begged to do that when I first started here and never got the chance.
Because I figured that, you know, the Nagatas and the Ligers of the world would appreciate me. I didn't want anybody to think that I came here and was like, I was in NXT. Look at how big my dong is, you know? No way. Start over. I was going to shave my head, do everything, but pretty quick they were like, you don't have to. I was going to go black boot. I was going to start really legit, like,
which Japanese young boy black short tights, shaved head.
I was going to do all of it. They told me I didn't have to shave my head. And pretty quick, they were like, you don't really have to. You just train and do what you want. So it was basically.
Did you actually live in the dojo at all?
Yeah, I lived there for 8 months. I did train with the boys. I mean, I didn't get my ass kicked every day like the way like a real young boy did. But I could already, you know, I could already wrestle and shit. So it would have been, you know, counterintuitive. So
that's very interesting. What's the kind of the day by day in the dojo?
So when you first get, well, I was.
And like, let me explain quickly. The dojo is where, like, when you're there's a ring in there. There's a gym where you can lift weights. There's a kitchen. There's a shower. There's a tanning bed. There's barracks, dorms, barracks, so to speak. So if you get signed to New Japan, this is kind of where, it's not a school. It's more of like a college.
Yeah, it's. I explained it to my dad as like a firehouse. I think that
good point.
You could good call. Somebody who doesn't know wrestling would be like, oh, okay, because you know all the boys come in, they're in and out, in and out, in and out. And I think that's the way that the community around there looks at it as it too.
Kind of the middle of nowhere, back alley.
Yeah. It's in a nice little area, but it's kind of like a suburb. Like you would, just a house. It's just a Noki's house, right? From way back.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah,
oh, I didn't know
like,
that.
Yeah, well, I remodeled or whatnot. Yeah. But so the first day that I got there, you know how it is when you first come to Japan, you wake up at like 4 a.m. wide awake. So I woke up at like 4 a.m. and I was rooming with Cody Hall. So I'm like on the top bunk, like, oh shit, why am I up? Yeah. So I went downstairs and there's a Jushin Thunder Liger. Got his, he's just tooting around the kitchen. Just making big ass breakfast. He's got his Liger costume hanging outside, air drying.
Like, he washed
just
it.
Doing, yeah, just doing his, whatever he wanted, you know, his like daily.
What the hell was he doing at the dojo?
He lives there, dude.
Really?
Yeah. When we're on tour, I think he lives in Fukuoka too.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So I think he goes home when he, in between stuff when he can, but he's there all
Talk
the
about
time.
A brother who's been here for like 35 years. Right?
Yeah.
What? And when did he start? 85?
Well, I'm on 29. He's before me. So, yeah, he's got to be 35 or so. Yeah.
I looked at my watch to see when Liger debuted.
You got it programmed in there? It's not even an Apple iWatch, man.
No way, man. It was a free Garmin one from the fine people at United.
Thank you, United.
Thank you.
Shout out.
Yeah.
So you go in there. Liger's making breakfast. Yeah. What are your duties?
So, and you know, I was pretty, my duties were pretty lax, but there was so many like straight Japanese young boys there. They would wake up, you wake up, I think, 7 a.m. and you clean the bathrooms really quick. You know, just tidy up everything, clean the front, out by the road in the street, like hose it down, sweep it. At night is most of the cleaning. And then you clean the weight rooms and everything. The shower needs to be squeegeed out. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody every day makes the chanko, the soup, the Japanese, like sumo soup.
Yeah, and that's like, yeah, like it's like a stew kind
of. Yeah, right? Stew of like pork and vegetables. It's pretty good, but if you eat it for 8 months straight, you'll never need to eat it ever again. Anytime I go to a sponsor now and they're like, oh, we're going to have chanko.
Oh,
I
hate
like, that. Motherfucker.
I hate
just
that.
Give me Yakiniku and give me it now.
Whenever I go to a sponsor and it's not Yakiniku, it's like, no, we're Americans. We don't want chanko. We don't want fried chicken and oyster, whatever the hell. Give us Yakiniku. That's what we want.
Yes, and beer or yes.
Yes, yeah. Right. Find some vodka for me and we're all set.
Most of them, yeah. That's hard to find, right?
Super hard.
Don Quixote, though, has, I think,
what is that? Vodka.
Because I remember last time you were drinking Gilby's, right? Oh, or that one guy from Australia brought you Gilby's.
It was Gilby's. We found it on the street when we came over here with
Gallows
Anderson.
Every time I see
Gilby's,
I think of you now. Yeah. Was it Rockgut or Rockgut?
So Roman Reigns said, he goes, my mom used to drink that when I was a kid. It was like, so you buy it at Lawson Station, which is like a 7-Eleven. So imagine the quality of vodka you can buy at the gas station.
It should
basically
be in a plastic bottle. It then it would be perfect.
Yeah, I think it's already got a screw-off cap. So yeah, that's pretty bad. So you make your chonko. Just training.
I never had to do chanko. Yeah, I would just, but right when I got here, I debuted. So it was, you know, we were on the road too. So I wasn't in the dojo. The big time was in between tours when we were off in the dojo. And I would just, you know, we'd wake up. I think training was at 10. And it was like a mix of like wrestling and like working out. It was fun.
Who's the teacher? Who's the boss?
For the wrestling part, when we were doing it, was like Nagato and Kushi. Kushida would like, you know, because it's a lot of guys. They're just learning how to like bump and roll and do and like have like
some
matches.
Legit rookies.
Yeah. And Super Strong Machine was the actual young boy.
Junji Hirata.
Yeah. And now it's Saito. But, and then the guy that was like in charge of like the workouts was Misawa. He's a. Do you know which one Misawa is?
Sure.
He's the trainer. Mm. He's the.
I don't know him.
Yeah. So it was cool, dude. They do it right here.
So when you came in, oh yeah, they for sure.
So good. Yeah.
You know, but what about during because the young boys you have to watch the matches surround the ring. Were you having to do that?
Yep. Wow. I mean, if I ate somebody's finish, I would not be out there for a while,
brother.
Kayfabe, brother. Mm. But yeah, if I wasn't. I would be out there on the knee watching, you know, 4 years ago I was at Wrestle Kingdom wearing my little Young Lion costume, knee down, watching every match. Dude, that is so smart that they do that because you're learning how, like if you can't figure out how to wrestle after watching a year of being on your knee watching Tanahashi and... Well, maybe you can't figure out how to wrestle.
Well, some guys can.
Yeah.
But just like you said, the genius of being under, as Dusty would say, the learning tree. You know, because when you're up against the apron side, you can hear the calls, you can see what's going on, the reactions. Like I said, like that would have been a dream way for me to train. I never had that opportunity.
It's awesome. And then the fact that they let the young boys only have like 5 moves when they first start. Mm. I think they hip toss, body slam, big boss, and your finish.
Sometimes you can't even hit the ropes, right?
Yeah. Or they can't throw like a clothesline, or they have to like ask permission, like, oh, maybe drop kick off the top. And then once they see you can do it, it can be one of their like signature moves, but they give them the bare, you know, here's a hammer, here's some nails, here's a screw and a screwdriver, make a fort, you know, make a, but then you find out because then they understand you have to, the moves don't matter and it's just selling and fire and charisma. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. And then the moves are whatever.
So when you were actually in the dojo and training, did anybody ever get stretched really bad? There's always here some horror stories of that. But once again, that's more of the 90s. I don't know if it's as barbaric as it used to be.
I mean, we've been blown up so bad to where it was like we had to stop practicing because you couldn't wrestle because the mat was so slippery. Mm. Like you couldn't even get up and hit the ropes. Mm. But I never saw anybody like get their ass kicked.
It's very intense workouts.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
You used to use the tire where they'd make you back bridge over an actual tire.
We did that. That feels great, actually.
Cracks your back.
Yeah. But I never saw anybody like really get, like just.
They're not trying to run anybody off.
No. And they, not with pain anymore. Now it's more with like, you know, bump, 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 bump. You can still run people off with bumps and hitting the ropes. Mm. Seen it so many times. Mm. It's awesome.
It's always big guys too.
Or like hot model chicks. Like the one time Sarah Del Rey, I don't know, it was some really, really pretty girl. She just did like one somersault, two, and then was like, this isn't for me. And she NXT. Just got out of the ring. Yeah, she just got out of the ring, and that was the last we saw her. When I wow, she's probably making $100,000 a year. She's probably making double what.
That's the sad thing.
Yeah, I know.
I remember when I was in wrestling school, Hart Brothers camp, and it was like every day. I said, this reminds me of like a Friday the 13th movie where every day one less camper. You know, go into the woods and Jason kills you, and you go from 10 to 9.
Yep.
People just disappearing. Like, what happened to Ron? I don't know. I saw him 3 days ago. He's gone. Just left, walked out.
I mean, you know, if you don't absolutely love wrestling, it sucks. Mm. It reminds me of like the kids in football. If you didn't like putting on like or you played hockey, right? Or if you didn't like the contact and if you didn't like that, you weren't. Why would you play? You wouldn't last.
But you're right. And I never had that type of passion for hockey. Yeah. I did it because you grew up in Canada. So it is all I cared about was wrestling and you know music. And
that's how
stuff.
I was with football. I didn't really. Yeah. Like football that much.
Because you have to put up with a lot to get into the business. Yeah. Like just look what you just did. Like you're in NXT and then you totally take yourself out of the game, deservedly so, rightfully so, and start from scratch. Not a lot of guys would do that, you know?
Yeah. It's always like, oh, well, you know, you grow up and you're like, oh, gotta be a WWF superstar, man. Mm-hmm. Monday Night Raw, baby. WrestleMania.
Sure.
But then once you're there and it's like, okay, I'm on, yes, I'm on the Patriots. I am on the New England Patriots, but I'm like the number six kicker. So it's like, would I rather, just go kick field goals for, you know, the Bears. Mm-hmm. They're a pretty good football team.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I'd rather,
you know what I mean? Yeah. I'd rather play.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to sit the bench.
There's nothing worse than spinning your wheels.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Screw that because it's wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to just sit in catering my life.
Oh, my God. I'm kidding, right?
Can't do it. I'd rather wrestle in front of little kids at a carnival.
There's certain guys that would be on the WWE payroll for like 10 years, and I'm like, you know that they're just forgetting to look under that category of the name. And it's like, the guy does nothing. How is he still here? It's because somehow like his name fell through like between the filing cabinet. They just forgot that he's there.
Oh, yeah. You know? Or I think there's like some guys that are like, that get paid and like don't even have to go on the road. Like they don't even get called just to TV. They just
say, hey, listen, and that's the dream job, but is it? Ugh. To get paid to do nothing? I remember I went to CAA once, the big talent agency in Hollywood. And, talking to the guy a little bit, and he gets out this big book of their roster, and he goes, listen, he goes, Johnny Depp, of course, you know, Tom Cruise, absolutely, you know, I can't remember her name is, you know, whatever, these giant big stars, but let's look through the book here and see who else is here. He goes, Doug Schwartzman. He goes, I don't know who the hell Doug Schwartzman is. You don't want to be Doug Schwartzman. This isn't the place for you at this point in time. You know, and that's Halle Berry is the girl.
Okay.
But it's like, you know, if you don't want to get lost in the shuffle to just be a name. Yeah. Hey, I'm repped by CAA and they don't even know who you are. You don't want that.
No. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about your buildup in Japan and the matches you had with Kenny Omega. You had a great one. But first, I want to say thanks to another great Talk is Jericho sponsor who wants to make sure that you're staying safe on the road, and that's the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, reminding you that texting and driving isn't just a dangerous problem, it's deadly. And if you drive while distracted, you're three times more likely to crash. Far too many people still don't recognize the dangers of texting while driving. Did you know that when you send or receive a text, you take your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds? And at 55 miles per hour, that's like driving more than the length of an entire football field with your eyes closed. Think about that. Between 2012 and 2017, nearly 20,000 people died in crashes involving a distracted driver. And if your own safety isn't enough reason to stop driving while distracted, here's another one. It's also illegal, okay? Think about other people as well, but it's illegal, more importantly. That's why cops are writing tickets to anyone caught texting while driving, and they're doing it to save lives, all right? So remember, if you text while driving, you will get caught. You drive, you text, you pay. Talk is Jericho is also supported by Indeed.com. When it comes to hiring, you don't have time to waste. You need help getting to your shortlist of qualified candidates fast. That's why you need Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates using an intuitive online dashboard. And when you need to hire fast, accelerate your results with sponsored jobs. New users can try it for free at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply. When you first came to Japan, and obviously now you've got a lot, it's been a slow and steady build.
Yep.
To where when I first, I mean, I've been here for a year, but it was the match you had with Kenny. Have you just had one match with them or a couple matches with them? There's one really...
Two or three.
But I there think, was one yeah. that was a standout one.
Yeah, I think that was first one.
Which one was it?
Kobe, Destruction.
Was that
Kobe?
This year?
Or last year.
Last year. But that was kind of a, whatever it was.
Yeah.
There was some match you had with somebody that really kind of took you to the next step.
Yeah, I think that was one of them. It was like my first main event too.
Right.
And two foreigners. I mean, he's Kenny, so...
Mm-hmm. He's pretty much adopted Japanese.
Yeah, but... You know, it's kind of pressure. There's a little bit of pressure. Like, what if nobody comes?
Hey, anytime you're on the main event,
I know. Why
if it so sells weird? Out or doesn't sell out, that's on you know on you, yeah. right?
But yeah, that match was.
Did anybody good. Come?
Yeah, a few people came.
So
I flew
so
my dad out.
How was that for you? Like as a coming out sort of thing.
It was really good. I think the big one was when I did like tag league with Tanahashi. It was supposed to be like Elgin and Tanahashi in a tag league. Elgin broke his face and was out. And then I got like bumped up to wrestling with Tanahashi, but the tours were already made. So it's like, oh, I'm in all these like 20-minute tags. And I'm the guy, if we win, he's winning. But if we lose and we did a fair bit of losing, I'm the guy that's going to lose. So like I was in the closing stretches all of the main. So that was when that's when I started to feel like, oh, hell yeah. You know, that's when I started.
You get
like,
the confidence.
I had confidence. And, I main evented Korakuen 4. I've main evented Korakuen a bunch now. So now I could go main event Korakuen, you know, tonight, and I wouldn't be nervous at all. Mm-hmm. It's like a lot of the nervous stuff for me is always like the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But once you do it a few times, it's like, whatever.
It's such smart booking, and it's not rocket science once again. And I'm not saying that they don't do it in other companies, but I just really like the very logical booking here. And once again, like you said, somebody gets hurt, you get put in this spot. I don't know if you know my history here, but Jado and Gato and Fuyuki were the big heel team in WR with Tenryu. And then Jado messed up his shoulder and they put me in there. So now it's Fuyuki, Gato and Lionheart. And then Jado comes back. I'm like, I'm in that team now. Now you like, I'm here. Not just because someone got hurt. Now I earned my place. The guy's back, and I'm still in the top heel group. And that's something that once you start feeling that, and like you mentioned, okay, now you work your way up, and now you work Kenny in a main event. Now you're in the tag league with Tanahashi, who's one of the biggest stars. Now you know there's plans for you.
Yeah, and the other revelation, or I don't know what the word is, but the other time I was like, oh, this is stuff starting to go good, is when I was in. If I'm wrestling somebody now that's like underneath me in Korakuen or whatever, they'll, you know, boo me and like cheer. I'm the underdog. You know, I was always the underdog.
Yeah.
But now, like, if I'm like beating up a young boy or whatever, they're gonna root for him. Mm-hmm. But then you just play along into it, and you can still be a baby face, but be like cheeky a little. You know, as long as you're doing it with a smile on your face. I was bringing that up for. Oh, they always like the fans know if that guy's probably gonna lose. You know, it's all like. Six mans and eight mans and 10 mans here. And it's booked and made in such a way that there's like, you can pretty much look at the card and be like, oh,
yeah. You know, yes, he's going to win. He's going to lose.
There's a job boy in, you know, in each match.
Yeah.
But
designated jobber.
But every once in a while, like, one time I just beat Kojima, but, you know, I lost to Kojima 100 times. But then that one day I beat. And the people, like, they lose their mind. Because, you show them, this is what it is. This is how it's going to be. He's going to lose. He's going to lose. He's going to lose. Nope, he won. And, you know, they do it so wins and losses matter here so much. They're the only thing that, like, if you pin a champion, you get a title shot.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how it works. That's why the titles mean something here.
It's very basic booking.
It's so
like you
basic
said,
and
if
easy.
You pin, yeah, and that's all that it takes.
But that's how wrestling just is.
Mm-hmm.
Don't need to overthink it.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't. Dude, we're not going to fight because you kissed my girlfriend. Like, I know that's American style, and that's cool stuff, but my favorite shit is, like, this is for the championship, and this guy wants to prove. That's how it's got to be.
If you're looking at real world, any type of competition, whether it's even in business or whatever, the winner gets a prize.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, for a title, the title should mean everything. It's funny, though. I did a Wrestle Kingdom preview every match on this card, with the exception of one, Jay and Okada, is for a title.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's like getting to be Mexican wrestling now, where there's like the lightweight double champion, beach boy, peace championship.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's kind of another thing. I think there's a lot of titles here. They all mean something, but there's a lot of them.
There is. You that's, know? Yeah. That's why I feel like, I like that the never one, the one with Ospreay and Ibushi, it should be like any weight class, you know.
Is that what that's? Is that what it is? Never?
That's. I think that's what it was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. But then it like slowly turned into this like Ishii and Shibata like strong style title almost. Like it was kind of like ping ponging around like Goto and Makabe and Ishii. But I think it was originally made for, you know, a junior heavyweight to maybe wrestle a heavyweight.
Right.
That is cool because it's like open. I like that. I like the six man and stuff, and then. I don't know. They're all fine, but I know what you mean. There is a couple too many.
No, yeah, and you working like. with Cody tomorrow. Did you work last year in Wrestle Kingdom?
Yeah. I was just in the gauntlet, like the six man.
Yeah. And this year it's you versus Cody for the US title.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you had this title before?
Yeah.
Okay.
For like a couple months. Yeah, Cody beat me for it.
Oh. How is that once again? Like you mentioned, you know, when you had Kenny and you, like I worked Kenny last year, and he's pretty much, like I said, honorary Japanese. But what's it like when you have a straight, you know, Gaijin versus Gaijin match? How does the crowd react?
Yeah, it's just, well, the first time me and Cody wrestled at Wrestle Kingdom 11, maybe the year before you came, I think. Okay. And I was just starting. And once again, I was in there because Elgin got hurt, I think. As well, and Cody, that was his debut in Japan, so they were real quiet.
<You know? laughs> Yeah,
but if they're invested in you, it doesn't matter.
Do you think that at this point they feel as if you're kind of honorary Japanese,
or maybe not honorary Japanese, but I think they know me and they like me.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm definitely not honorary Japanese.
Do you speak Japanese at
no,
all?
No, I was just gonna say like, no way, no, a little bit. I mean, I could order a beer and you know.
That's like
I can survive, I bet.
Yeah.
I'd probably be way better at it if I didn't have people like taking care of me all the time. You know,
you're pretty
lazy
right now.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. You only work here. You don't work anywhere really in the States.
No, I did like a couple indies here and there, but I'm going to do more Ring of Honor this year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Rev Pro is, and then.
Is that England?
Yeah. And I did CMLL once too.
Mexico, yeah.
Yeah, but. Yeah, we're here so much.
Your focus is here.
Yeah, I'd rather just sit on the couch when I'm off and watch the Cubs with my dad.
Because it's not like you're getting a lot of off time, though.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And might as well just enjoy it. And, dude, I would suck because I was never under contract. So, like, New Japan pays 99% of the money I make in wrestling, right? So if I, like, do, like, a crappy little indie in BFE Tennessee and, like, rip my knee apart...
Mm.
Not under contract.
Right.
Who knows what would happen.
Are you under contract now?
No.
Still I'm not under contract.
I'm about to be, I think.
Yeah.
Pretty quick.
That's one thing I thought after they
in
had
a few hours.
But as we speak. Yeah. Do you want to record it?
Yeah, he's gone.
That's one thing I know when they did that big raid, I guess it was 2 years ago, right? Or 3 years ago with Gallows and Anderson and AJ and Shinsuke, you think that they would be signing up everybody now.
Yeah. I had a handshake agreement all the way up for 4 years, and it worked great. It worked great. It was fine, but now it's time to sign a contract. I think
Is your goal to stay in Japan, or do you want to ever go back to the States again? Or
no, I'd want to just work for New Japan forever, because I think we're gonna do more and more shows in America, and now like with the invention of the internet and everything. No, but anybody like can watch anything now, so it's. I don't know. I don't need to go back there. I would hate to go back there and not do something.
And contribute, right?
Yeah. Like here, you feel like you have a little bit, you know, you don't move the needle, I know, but a little bit. It feels bit.
But the thing is, once again, you mentioned how Elgin got hurt and you step in. Yeah. We know now that, you know, we saw it yesterday, Cody, Bucks, not coming back to Japan. We don't know what's going to happen with Kenny. They need some other guys now to step up. And when I look at the roster with the experience that I have, I see you, I see Ospreay, and I see Jay.
Yep.
Those are your next. And to extent, Zack Sabre as well, but he's a little bit more of a niche guy. I mean, he's really great. But I see as a guy who could main event against Okada, you're a guy that I think fits that mold. Maybe not tomorrow,
Give
it 6 months down the line.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing you said, Gato's very smart with taking the pieces that he has to the puzzle and building them very smartly and legitimately.
And I think he looks at a guy and is like, in 3 years, he looks at a guy and knows where he's going to put him in like 3 years, mm-hmm. too, if everything goes accordingly, mm-hmm. which is badass. I couldn't do that.
Now, Japan is also, as a country, it's a very, not strange, but there's a lot to get used to
yeah.
here. What were some of the things, like, do you like the country as a whole?
I love yeah. Japan. I love it so much. People always ask, well, why do you just live there? Nope, gotta go home to America. yeah. Like, there's nothing, I love getting off in O'Hare, walking in the Aww. First, I said, passports to the left, global entry to the right, motherfucker. It's like, gee, we didn't hear you back there.
I'm home.
In Japan, yeah, I always feel, oh, I'm home. I'm back in Chicago. But like in Japan, that would never, you know.
Right, right.
They would say the same thing in the same perfect polite tone, and they will say it for 8 hours.
Oh, over and over yeah. again.
You walk into a 7-Eleven at 4 a.m. hammered. The guy's going to be like, hello, welcome for
Cut. Welcome.
Yeah, welcome Thank to you. 7-Eleven. Thank you. or whatever the hell he's saying to me. And I'm just like, hey, brother. But no, I love it. There's like, you know, they do a couple, there's a couple things that are silly here. Like if you, but here, if you ask for like another, an extra sauce for your nuggets, they'll be like, hold on, let me go ask. I can give you an extra sweet and sour.
I would say here,
very protocol.
Rules are rules.
They love rule. Finley always says they love lining up here. But, no, they love rules. They love rules.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Don't bend them.
No.
Right.
And adapting or like, I don't, they're very to the book. Mm-hmm. Keep it. And everything works great. They have like the best public transportation in the world, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're badasses, but I got to go to America and see some, you know, I want to walk into a convenience center every once in a while and have the guy not look up at me. Mm-hmm. Just be on his phone.
Oh, I got a sandwich that doesn't have an octopus and corn on it.
Yeah, yeah. So
it's going to be lost in station or something like that. You go in there to get a snack. There's no snacks there.
No, no.
It's just a bunch of really weird shit.
Yeah, we also have a hot dog bun with noodles on it. And yeah, and octopus with corn. Oh my God.
What's funny. Some of the weirdest things that you've experienced here?
I thought you were going to ask me one of the weirdest things I've eaten.
Oh, try
but
that
like,
then.
Okay, we're I both. Ate this. I still don't know what the hell it was called. It was something Korean, but it was, they were like little, they looked like octopus arms, like
tentacles.
Tentacles, yeah. Arms, biceps. They looked like octopus biceps. No, they, yeah, tentacles, but they were still alive. And when I put them in my mouth, like they were suctioning around.
Oh, dude.
Like they were, yeah.
Where
like,
was this? Good.
This was in Tokyo somewhere.
But like at
some sort of Korean thing, and they were all freaking out.
Oh
like,
my
do you wanna,
gosh.
Do you want to eat? I'm like, hell yeah, I want to eat this.
Oh.
And it was fine. It just tasted like.
They just don't give a shit
no.
here. If it's of the earth, they'll eat it.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Wow.
And then one time I was somewhere, and the guy brought out like a by the head, an eel, and just. You know,
swinging his tail around,
like flying all over the place, and he's like, yeah, and I have no idea what they're saying, but everybody's like, all right, yeah. And then he's like, he's got it, and he walks back, he comes back like 20 minutes later, and here it is, all cooked up. So,
oh,
so that was just a lie. I mean, that's not really that weird. The eel's really good, though.
Is it? I haven't tried it.
Raw horse is like the one that freaks my dad out a little.
Well, yeah,
but dude, raw horse is so good.
Probably eating horse and cat I've more here than you thought.
Nah, I hope not cat. Yeah. I wouldn't be into eating cat or dog.
No, but I'm saying sometimes I don't think we know for sure.
Oh yeah, who knows?
Some of the meat selections that you get here.
Yeah.
I went to a restaurant once and they ask you if you have this for a lobster. Which lobster do you want? I'll take this one. They take it out of the tank and they stick it right on the grill. And it's not, the steam coming through makes a noise, but it sounds like it's screaming.
Yeah.
It's like, meee!
Yeah.
I can't eat this. It's screaming as you're burning it alive on the grill. Oh, it's God. Terrible.
Thank God its brain is as big as a booger. Yeah. So it has no idea what's happening. But yeah. Dude, my moral for the food, my rule for the food here is like, dude, if they're going to serve it to you, it's probably pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Or else it wouldn't be a thing, mm-hmm. right? Like, there's no way people eat these little octopus tentacles.
Yeah.
That suction, it's got to be okay. It can't taste like shit.
Yeah.
Bro, but like, we were just eating yakiniku last night and, you know, pig intestine, or no, beef intestine or cow intestine. What do we have? What do we call chitlins? Or what are chitlins?
Oh, yeah.
Chitlins, is that
I think that's the intestine. It's like what do they call it in England? I can't remember what they call it. Haggis.
Yeah,
stomach cow intestine.
Like nobody, I don't think, wakes up and is like, yeah, I'm gonna go get some shit tubes and eat those today. But
how about the cow vagina? That's a good one. That's I saw it on the menu. Yeah, cow vagina. I'm not even joking because it says it in Japanese and then underneath in brackets, cow vagina.
But they spelt vagina B A.
It's now vagina.
Me and Philly's favorite thing is like they when they language a little bit.
Yeah.
Like the L's and R's and B's and V's. Yeah. Are, like he takes pictures and sends them to his dad all the time. I love it. I think it's the cutest.
It's so cute.
It is.
The very first show that I ever had in Japan was FMW. Me and Lance went together, Lance Storm. And Lance is so distraught. I show up. He goes, we're not on the show. I go, what do you mean we're not on the show? It's the first show. How can we not be on the show? So I read the card. I'm like, oh, dude, not only we're on the show, we're in the main event. And we were listed under Kleiss, who's me, yeah. Chris, and Runtz, who's Lance. Runtz. Kleiss and Runtz.
They put a U instead of an A, too. Yeah, Runtz. Yeah.
I was like, dude, that's us. We're Kleiss and Runtz.
Sounds like hillbilly names. Yeah. Cletus. And oh, my God.
Yeah, so you never know what you're going to get when you show up there. Oh, man. Well, that's really cool. So now that you're here, you're ensconced, you're going to stay here for a while. Literally, you want to stay here for the rest of your career?
I want to be in New Japan until I have that feeling that I had in WWE, but I don't think I'm ever going to have that feeling. I don't think it's ever going to be like, I don't think I'm going to sit the bench. I'm always going to contribute here in some way. But I don't think I'll ever have the feeling where I need to leave or like hitting the ceiling here. It's years down.
It's an exciting time though. Yeah. It's so cool.
It's
that
growing.
Whereas back, 10 years ago, walking away from WWE might be like,
yeah,
now there is other places to go and make a great living and contribute.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, my goal is not, if I never walk through a curtain at WWE ever again, I won't lose any sleep over it.
Hmm.
It'll be weird when my career is over, it'll be like, wow, his career was a little backwards, but.
Or is it? I mean, if you look at like Stan Hansen, those type of guys, Butcher, Abdullah Butcher, like those guys made huge money. Stan, I don't remember ever seeing him in the States except for maybe in the AWA in the early 80s. And then he just came here and that was it.
Yep.
So
yeah, and it's whatever.
Last question for you. What was your favorite match you had in NXT and your favorite match you've had here in Japan?
Okay. My favorite match in NXT was, well, can I name, I had a match with Roman. Okay, I can do whatever I want. Yeah. It's your podcast. Yeah. We're on the excellency.
Yeah, on the excellence floor, you can do whatever you want, brother. Okay.
I had a match once with Roman Reigns when he was like, either he had just changed from Leaki to Roman Reigns.
Strange name, Leaki. I thought it was Leaky.
Everybody always did. And it was it was like a match where everything that we thought, like they made the crowd was so hot. It was just a little bitty Jacksonville Armory, but it was like, I was so underneath him and he was like, you knew he was going to be what he was. Mm-hmm. And we came to the back and Seth was just like, I knew we just tore it up. And like he mentioned that match once too to somebody. And it was just it was like the first time I can remember
I
tore it up. And then me and Tyler
Reese. He's great, man.
Yeah,
he's great. So great, yeah.
And then me and Tyler Reese used to have like just fun matches on.
Another super underrated brother, yeah.
But my favorite one in NXT was probably the one where I broke Kevin's nose only because it was just so.
What happened?
I palm striked him, but I missed.
You know, strikes him.
It's supposed to be like, oh, we just totally break kayfabe. Whatever. It's supposed to be like he run into me in the corner. I pick up a boot and he puts it down. But then I hit him with, the palm strike. But I was thinking, pull it down, stay there. And I hit him. But he was feeding in. So it was like palm strike to the nose. And he cut I cut my own hand. But I had like 3 stitches in my palm.
From his
nose? Yeah, from not the cartilage part, like that hard, the bridge.
Oh my gosh.
So I broke the part of where the cartilage connects to the actual bone.
Mm.
And then I had like a hole in my hand. It was so weird.
Wow.
And I knew it might hurt. I didn't feel it at all. But then he's like, when I pinned him, he was like, and he kicked out. He's like, I think my nose, you just exploded my nose or something. Oof. I was like, oh shit, I did. And then I had blood, but I was bleeding too. It was just a mess. But it was so cool because the referee's like trying to like clean him up. Mm-hmm. And he's just looking in. It was his debut too. Mm-hmm. The crowd was really hot. And we became like really good friends after.
Mm-hmm.
That was
fun.
When
you shatter someone's nose, man,
yeah,
that makes you a brother.
And then my favorite one here was last year, me and Tanahashi in a single, the first time I ever wrestled him, and it was in New Japan Cup, and it was just Korakuen main event, like in March of 2017 or 18. And it was just like, he's so over, we were doing nothing, and they were just losing their mind, not because of me, nothing. And I was like, totally, he's like, somebody was like, oh, so good match. Dude, all you have to do with that guy is just don't forget your boots and you're going to have a great match. but that was just like, you know the feeling after you have a match and you're just like almost emotional.
Yeah.
Like I was cutting a promo and I could have just burst into tears and then ran through the brick wall. Like I was just so pumped. It's just a lot. Yeah, that was my favorite.
But, get that feeling. Yeah. Well, cool, man. Well, it's cool we finally get to do this.
Yeah, that was cool. Hopefully it doesn't suck, whoever had to listen to this, or whoever gets to listen to this.
If you think it sucks.
If it sucks, it's because it was morning time, we're drinking coffee.
I think it was good. If you think it sucks, just keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
And we don't need any social media bullshit this early in the morning.
You can try to social media me, because I don't have none.
Oh, none?
Nothing, man.
No interest?
Nothing. No. I deleted it all.
Really?
A year ago. Nothing. No. Why? Facebook, no Instagram. Too many. Just... all to marks haters. Haters, just marks putting themselves over, and I just checked out of it.
See, there you go. You can't even, if you think it sucks, you can't even do anything about it.
If you want to see me at the matches, brother, curtain to curtain.
All right, thanks again to Juice Robinson. The New Japan Ring of Honor G1 Supercard will air as a two-part special on Access TV this Friday, April 12th. So if you missed the pay-per-view last weekend, you got a chance to see it on Access this Friday night. Got some great matches. Juice Robinson was in a six-man with Bully Ray, who was on last week. Don't forget, too, about Naito versus Ibushi, my old rival at Naito. And, of course, I think one of the best matches on the show, Okada versus Jay White. Also, another Talk is Jericho alumni. Go check it out now. Like we said, you can see that on Friday, April 12th on Access TV. So check it out. And you also got a chance to check out Chris Jericho's Rockin' Wrestling Rager at C-Part 2, setting sail January 20th, 2020. Listen, we are over 80% sold out. So you want to book now? You got to come on the best vacation ever. And there's so much to see and do. Hang with all the killer town is going to be on the cruise. Guest of honor, Nature Boy Ric Flair. Drop the mic right there. That's all you need to know. And if you do you need more, how about the NWO? Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, X-Pac. How about Jake the Snake Roberts? Queen Charmel, Booker T doing his Hall of Fame podcast, MVP doing his Most Valuable Prisoner one-man show. What a story he's got. Brad Williams is the host, hilarious. Vicky Guerrero, special cruise director, and her daughter and Eddie's daughter, Shaw Guerrero, will be there. Shaw Guerrero's burlesque troupe, the Vaudettes, will be there. How about Jack Slade, special cruise mascot, official keeper of the ice? He was also on last week. If you haven't listened to the WrestleMania preview, you should go check it out. It's very, very funny, even though WrestleMania's already done. See how many of our predictions we got right. How about Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson doing 83 weeks live on the ship? Fozzy's going to be there. Farewell to Fear. Rubik's Cube, the greatest 80s cover band. Killer Queen, the greatest female Queen cover band. Dave Spivak Project is back. Jared James Nichols is awesome. Kickaxe, one of my all-time favorite bands, coming straight from Vancouver, Canada to play for you. DDP hosting more live DDP yoga workshops on the ship. Beyond the Darkness will be hosting more creepy paranormal events. AEW will be there. So much stuff. We don't want you to miss out. Please book your cabin now at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. You are going to have a blast. Speaking of blast, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week. And on Wednesday, we're joined by Tessa Blanchard, the best new women's wrestler on the planet today from Impact Wrestling. Great, great interview with her. Of course, she's Tully Blanchard's daughter, a third-generation performer, and she acts and speaks like it. All right, so until then, we'll see you soon. Stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy! See you next week.
The Westwood One Podcast Network.